Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You, Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, February the 18th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 90, the fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page. If he does not want to see you, and it ends at the top of page 91, one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Martha M., the 12 Traditions, Laura R., and the readers of the text are Ellen D., Bonnie T., and Robin D.Z. The share ID for Monday, February 17th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,131. That's 14131. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, February the 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, meeting is 14,135. That's 14135. And our newcomer greeter is Kaylee R. And the announcements is Leslie M. So stay on till the end. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Martha M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Mo. This is Martha from Connecticut. I'm a recovering compulsive under and overeater. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service, Mo, and thank you for the opportunity for me to do service. Have a great day.
And yes, thank you, Martha M., for reading the 12 steps. The 12 traditions, Laura R.
Good morning, Mo. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Mo, and I pass.
Yes, thank you, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done a sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. And that's the star 1 button, not the mute button on your phone. Thank you for doing that. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study, and we are on page 90, the fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page. If he does not want to see you, comments will be on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Ellen D. to begin reading.
Thank you, Mo. If he does not want to see you, never force yourself upon him. Neither should the family hysterically plead with him to do anything, nor should they tell him much about you. They should wait for the end of his next drinking bout. You might place this book where he can see it in the interval. Here no specific rule can be given. The family must decide these things, but urge them not to be over-anxious, for that might spoil matters. I'm Ellen D., recovered in Texas, and gratefully so. This is the second time they mentioned spoiling things. They said something like that on the top of page 90 about, if he doesn't want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. So, you know, I need to wait till they're ready and realize it's their journey. And the timing isn't for me to decide. You know, they need to want it more than I do. And you know, it's attraction, not promotion. And I heard recently, I'm to carry the message, not the person. And that just was such a great visual for me. You know, they might need to suffer more. They might need to get more hopeless. It says elsewhere in the book, repeated stumbling will convince him to act. He may change his mind after he gets hurt some more, and if he is to find God, the desire must come from within. So, you know, it's not about me making it happen. It's really between them and their higher power. And we know that alcohol is the great, great persuader. I'm not the great persuader. Alcohol is. The food is. So I'm not to be an evangelist, but I need to be patient and keep working my program and, you know, and do steps 10 and 11 as needed about this issue especially. And just, you know, do what, find someone else who's ready. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Well, thank you for getting us started, Ellen. And I will now, let me remind you, everyone, where we're at. We're on page 90, the fourth paragraph, the bottom of the page, if he does not want to see you. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Lisa G.
Lisa. Press star 1 if you want to share.
Santa H.
Hey, Mo, Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Santa H.
I got you, Santa.
Okay.
You're number 2. Lisa G., Santa H., Lisa J.R. You can use 3 more.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Margaret N.
Margaret N.
Patty T.
Patty T. Okay, we got a group here. Margaret N. Okay, I got Lisa G., Santa H., Lisa J.R., Deborah G., Margaret N., and Patty T. So, Lisa G., please get us started. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, Mo. Good to hear you. This is Lisa G. from Texas, compulsive overeater, food addict, and recovering. I want to talk about this chapter from the viewpoint of the person that is suffering, because when I was in the food and I was very heavy, I had a friend that was also a massage therapist, and I went to her on a very regular basis, and she knew I was unhappy with her with my weight. But one day I don't remember what I said. This was so many years ago, and I cried, and she said, well, there's this thing called FA that you could do, and it's another food program. And I said, what is it? So anyway, long story short, she had this information for a really long time because she had done something similar called Great Sheet. So she could have told me about it years before because I was heavy for a really long time. But she waited until I was miserable, and I was just crying about, God, I'm so fat, I can't lose any weight. And she told me about this 12-step program, and I was like, wow, really? But then she said, yeah, they don't eat any flour or sugar. And I said to her, I can't live without sugar. And so for 2 years, I didn't go to a meeting. I didn't check into it because I knew for a fact I couldn't do it. She never proselytized. She never, you know, that was it. That's all she told me, but she planted this seed, right? And so 2 years later, when I went to my yearly doctor's appointment and she told me that my blood sugar was going up, that's when I finally decided. Well, I didn't quite decide, but I called this friend up and I said, I think I need to try this. And she was having a party that week, and God just planned it all out. And one of her friends was a fellow. And she introduced me to this gal, and this gal talked to me for like 30, 40 minutes. And I was like, but what if? She goes, you don't have to marry it. Just go to a meeting. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And the rest is history. So, you know, God works it out that when a person's ready, they'll be ready. And I know I've tried to get people ready, and it doesn't work. So just a little thing, you know, just be a seed planter and see what happens. Thanks. I'll pass.
Well, thank you for getting us started, Lisa G. Santa H., followed by Lisa J.R. Good morning, Santa.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H., a grateful compulsive overeater from Montclair, New Jersey. I came into this program, I had a massive ego, and the longer I'm in this program, the more I am just blown away at how massive my ego was. And I came into this program ready to do the work, not quite a work, not really. It took about a year before I was really ready to do the work, at least for the first time. And I wanted to sponsor. And I had this attitude that, that you know, I had the answers for everyone. And it took me a while, but I think I'm here at a point, at a humbling point today, is that I don't know what's best for me, so how do I know what's best for you? And so I don't force myself on anyone or be over anxious when they come to me. because I'm trusting the process today. I'm trusting that people know what's best for themselves better than I do. And so when a protege approaches me, I know from past experience, it takes a whole lot of guts and courage to pick up that phone and call and to humble themselves to ask for a guide, for me to be their guide. And I think that's for any guide that comes along, not just me. And so I take them very seriously, and I take them at their word. Because at that moment, because I learned from my experience that actions speak much louder than words. And if I lay out my guidelines to them, I get to know them as much as they want to share with me in the beginning. And I always say, let's give it a try. And if they're willing to do the work, they will. If they're not, they won't. And I don't force it today. I don't chase people today. Because no one chased me when I was in the food. When I was ready, the teacher appeared every single time that I relapsed and needed to start all over again. And I'm grateful for that experience. And I'm grateful to be able to pass it on to others the same way it was passed on to me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Santa. Lisa J.R., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for your service, and good morning, fellows. Lisa J.R. from Baltimore. I'm glad we're in this place because we need help when we first come into program and sponsoring. You know, when I was getting led through the steps in the big book, my sponsor lovingly let me know, you know, pay good attention, take notes, because you are in training for sponsoring right now. Even though you're going through the steps, you're in training. So, of course, because the program is an ego reducer, it took a while for some things to be pounded out of me. I don't have all the answers. I wasn't exactly like that. I thought, you know, I have knowledge now. I'm armed to help people. And I was very excited about doing so. But, you know, I had to be humble. In our phone meetings and on Vision, we oftentimes work over the phone, so we don't have that much contact with the family. In face-to-face meetings, sometimes we do. I've suffered criticism for not, pounding a person with frothy emotional appeal. And I've tried to tell the family, gosh, you know, all I can do is share my story, and they'll come to it. And sure enough, recently I was given the gift of knowing that someone went into a treatment center to get some help. And she said, you know, gee, if you didn't, you were the only one that didn't push me, that didn't pound me, that didn't prod me. And I appreciate that because it worked more effectively than all the people trying to say, you know, you're going to lose your kids, you're going to die, blah, blah, blah. And it was a real blessing. So on occasion, you know, yeah, we come across family members on the phone lines, but not that often. And so these things really equip us for those face-to-face situations where we are going to have interactions with the family, and they do happen. And it's just been a blessing to me to have this template of how I'm supposed to do this and how I handle myself and, you know, consult the book. If I wonder, consult other fellows that have walked this walk, and I can't go wrong. But I have to learn how to be patient, and that was tough for me, sitting on my hands just waiting for the light bulb to go off. And I love what Leah says. It really struck me because I think of things visually, holding the lantern over the text. We faithfully hold that lantern, the light over this text, and we can't make anything happen. We're not God, and I have to remember that every day. Thank you for letting me share, but that'll pass.
Oh, perfect, Lisa. Thank you very much. Now we have Deborah G. followed by Margaret N. Good morning, Deborah.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, a compulsive overeater. And thank you, Mo, for your service and everyone that has done service to make this meeting possible. And thank you for all the shares. Oh, wow, I'm learning. And I like what was said about loving. And that brought up for me bringing God into it. You know, before I talk to the person or whatever I do in helping the person, bring God into it. You know, I can't go wrong with that. And all I have is my experience, strength, and hope in that beautiful book. You know, I love what it says in there, no human power. That means I can't keep anybody abstinent or in any other recovery. But that beautiful book with those beautiful 12 steps can. And all I can do is take them through the book and the steps so that they can have the experience that they need, their own psychic change, their own experience. And that's all I can do. And I've had people that hadn't gone through all of it, and that's okay. That's just where they're at. And then come back and then still not want. So, you know, it's just letting people have the dignity, discover the truth for themselves, and however that how that looks. I'm learning to just let go. And the part for me is not having that I'm not enough, or I didn't do it right, or something's wrong with me, or, you know, because it is, there's that ego, that self is that self-centeredness stuff. So I have to just trust, you know, that whatever I did was what I did, and just allow things to unfold. And just love them and pray for them. You know, pray for them. That's one thing, that's a sure thing I can do, is just pray and just allow things to unfold. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Deborah G. Margaret N., followed by Patty T. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. This is Margaret N., a recovering compulsive overeater in Loomis, California. And thank everyone for their service, from those coordinating the meeting to those listening. And the part, this last sentence, but urge them not to be over-anxious, the family, for that might spoil matters. That holds so true for me, because I know when anxiety kicks in, I don't have God or my higher power in my sight line. I'm not lined up square with this power greater than myself. I've drifted off, and then ego kicks in. And my ego will kick in at really just about every opportunity. It's quite amazing. So that the anxiety, which is really the anxiety which leads to the hysteria, that is me not being centered and seeing God as it. That's me trying to impose my will on someone, and that never has worked. Excuse me, not with my kids, not with any sponsees that I've had in the past. It is a beautifully humbling thing, and also talk about taking pressure off. I'm not responsible for anybody else's recovery except for my own. And that's the best thing I can do for myself and anyone around me, is be in recovery, have God centered in my sight line. It's just the most amazing thing, and an absolutely beautiful way to live. And I know that when I was in the food and not ready to do anything else but be in the food, don't talk to me about it. You don't know. Shut up and get out of my way, because that box of cookies is right behind you. And I know from my own experience, I couldn't hear anyone or process anything they were saying until I was miserable enough to be ready to do a change. So this book is the most amazing thing in my life. I consider it my Bible, and I love the specific instruction. It's like, get out of the way, Margaret, and let God or HP do his or her work, and I can be the faithful servant to be the guide on this earth. It's just amazing, and I love it, and I love all of you for being here, and thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Margaret. And before we take Patty T, I'm going to let everyone know where we're at. We're on page 90, the bottom of the page, the fourth paragraph. It starts with, if he does not want to see you, and we'll be reading that and commenting on that one paragraph only. And after Patty, I will take another lineup. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you, everybody, for these amazing shares. I've been taking notes. So, you know, it took me, I always say, and it's true, it took me 10 years and 10 days to walk into an OA meeting. I had a therapist 10 years earlier who had told me about this program, and I said, nope, not doing that. And then I had another therapist 10 years later say, I really wish you'd go to this program because I think the insurance is going to cut you off. And I said, okay, I will. And I still couldn't do it. It took me 10 days. Like, I couldn't get to a meeting. And, you know, this paragraph is all about that for me. It's about somebody being ready, you know, and willing to open their minds. I've been doing the set-aside prayer with my sponsor every morning. And I just love that prayer because it allows me to open up my heart and my mind to another alternative besides the yammering of my disease. Because even though I am living in recovery today, I am not and will never be cured. I can revert to that thinking in a heartbeat. And when I revert to that thinking in the heartbeat, the food is not far behind. I have a huge ego, as you can imagine, and I have been that family member as a sponsor, okay, as a sponsor who is hysterically pleading with my sponsee to do something or, you know, telling them so much more about me than they need to know and not understanding that they have a path and an experience of their own that has nothing to do with me, that only has to do with their God. And I just heard it on this line today. The only person's recovery I'm responsible for is my own. Thank you, God. And yesterday, I was able to hear the most loving, gentle definition of entire abstinence that I could not have heard a year ago. I didn't want to know about it. I didn't want to know. I was so afraid. And yet, yesterday I was like, open. This program is amazing, you guys. So I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to keep planting those seeds, and I'm going to keep setting up chairs. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Patty T. And we're on page 90, the fourth paragraph, if he does not want to see you. And I'll take a new lineup of people.
Aaliyah S.
Aaliyah S.
Ricky M.
Ricky M.
Carol K.
Carol K. Got room for two or three more. Well, if not, anyone else?
Des M.
All right, Des. Thank you.
Courtney M.
Courtney M. Can take one more.
Natalie G.
Natalie G. Thank you for being so nice to me this morning. Okay, I have Aaliyah S., Ricky M., Carol K., Des M., Courtney M., and Natalie G. All right, get us started, Aaliyah S.
Hi, good morning. My name's Aaliyah S. from California.
Sorry.
I'm a compulsive...
Go ahead.
Compulsive overeater. I'm currently in relapse and have been for months, and I have asked numerous people to sponsor me, and they have been so gracious and kind and loving, and I just have been unwilling to put the food down, and so I haven't wanted to waste their time knowing that I'm just not going to put the food down. I want that cake, have my cake and eat it too. I had some recovery over the summer with an amazing sponsor, and I just thought it was too much work, that I couldn't continue with the amount of effort that I had to put in to keep my abstinence, and I thought I could do it my way. And, you know, I have just been trying to do it my way, and I realized that my way isn't working, and I have all these, you know, little resentments of why this sponsor didn't, you know, continue to contact me, or why this person stopped reaching out to me, and I just felt like, you know, I was picked off, you know, on the outside looking in. I never felt a part of, and I realized those resentments and the self-pity and wanting to do it my way and self-will was just my disease talking to keep me separated and isolated and feeling like I wasn't a part of. And so I continued to eat. And, you know, like, I'm humbled today. Like, I have so much... I don't know, shame and humiliation about the months I've been eating and trying to come back in. But, you know, this morning I just prayed, and I keep asking for the willingness, and I'm going to ask until it comes. And every day I pray and ask my higher power for the willingness. And this morning I asked God to just help me not to eat flour and sugar today. And I called into the 5 o'clock meeting, and I heard someone share, and I was just in tears. And then I got the willingness to call my old sponsor, and then I got the willingness to go to the store and buy all my food for today, and then I got the willingness to call and talk into the meeting today. And I have no idea why I'm on this phone right now. My old sponsor texted and said it'd probably be good for me to share, and so I'm here and I'm sharing. And I know it's a bit off topic, but, you know, like, I guess I'm in a lucid interval, and I have a little ounce of willingness and a little ounce of power behind it coming from my higher power. And so I'm here sharing, and, you know, I haven't given up, and, you know, I don't really have those resentments. I see that it was my disease. You know, everyone has been so gracious and kind, and the fact that, you know, they knew that I wasn't ready. And so I'm grateful for all their help. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Aaliyah, for your honesty, and we're prayers for you. Ricky M., followed by Carol K. Good morning, Ricky.
Hi, this is Ricky M. from Philadelphia. I just wanted to share on the topic. Well, I'm new to sponsoring, and I'm new to getting to the end of the promises and feeling amazing and having so much to... Sorry about the background. My daughter's home and she's watching the movie. What my experience is that I wanted so badly to give everybody around me, and what I've realized is that I'm not really helping people. You know, I thought, you know, we talk about not being selfish, and I didn't want to be selfish. I'd go out there and help another overeater. So let me just share the food plan. I'm not going to, you know, they're not going to do everything that I'm doing, but, you know, let them at least experience some of what I'm enjoying. And I realized within a week they picked up because they weren't doing a program. And I realized the most important thing, it's not selfish, is my recovery. And it's painful to watch people you love struggle in their addiction. But, you know, if they want what I have, then they can have it. But they're not doing what I'm doing. And it's hard to say, you know what, I love you so much, but I can't help you. Because when you're struggling and it's, you know, if the food is not the problem, the food is the solution. And that's why we have the big book, and that's why I'm working the steps. I can't just be there with you in a food struggle. You know, what I'm doing is not a food plan with support. I have a program. You know, it's here. And because I love you so much, I also can't be the one working with you. There's, you know, meetings around your neighborhood. There's phone meetings. There's so many people you can call for help. You know, I want a relationship with you because I love you. and I have what you need. Here it is. You know, the most I can do for the people that I love is show them my experience and recover, and they can see it through me, and not by proselytizing, not by hitting, because I was doing that. I was starting to get into that framework of, I don't understand what you're doing. Why would you do that? And I'm like, no, that's wrong. So go back, take 10 steps back. You know, the people that I can sponsor are willing and able to do it, and they want to do it. So we can do it together. We'll walk side by side. But if people are coming and they're going to hold on to you so tight, like, oh, my gosh, you're amazing. I could never have done this without you. Well, guess what? When they slip, oh, it's your fault that I slipped. So, no, you could do it without me, and you could also slip without me. So one step at a time. I'm here to show by my recovery and to pray and to love them and just to be there for them as a good support. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ricky M. Carol K., followed by Des M. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, this is Carol K., recovered in New Jersey. Grateful to be on this meeting. I don't get to come on these meetings too often in the morning. But anyhow, this is an interesting topic for me, if he does not want to see you. My son had a friend. He was, around 600-700 pounds. He lost his housing. I'm a caretaker. I used to put people before me, but since I'm recovered, I don't put others before me. I put myself first, because if I'm not taking care of myself, then I'm of no use to anyone else. But anyhow, we had taken him in to live here. I wasn't recovered. We were binge buddies. Then he showed me about OA and everything else, and I got recovered and he didn't. And this just reminds me of how I was trying to control him and his food and forcing him to work this program and try to get recovered. And, you know, it's amazing because he was here for a year. And I just kept, I would talk to my sponsor. And, I just couldn't put him out because that was the caretaker part in me. I'm going to save him. And looking back today, I just want to say that I believe for myself that I was dieting with group support at that time because I didn't have that connection with God. And that's okay. And that's okay. This is a journey. This is a journey. You know, I didn't get recovered and right away be as connected to God as I am today. My relationship with God today is a process. You know, it's like a relationship. I'm married 37 years. The love grows. The relationship grows. And this is what's happening between myself and God. So I no longer have to be anyone's caretaker other than my own. And I'm grateful for that. I mean, I have an autistic daughter who took off 3 months ago. And you know something? I didn't go into the food. Normally, I would have hit the food. She has autism. She's 24 years old. I have no clue where she is. I know she's out of state. She had no friends. Forget it. If God wasn't my best friend today, my face would be smashed down in a carrot cake. I had emergency surgery 3 months ago. I'd be dead. I probably wouldn't even be on this phone line today because I still have an open wound that's being packed. And, we're working on this thing. So with all this going on and her taking off, I'm neutral around food. Food ain't going to fix my problem. You know who fixes my problem? God. And that's it. And for that, I'm grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Carol K. Des M., followed by Courtney M. Good morning, Des.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone else that's giving service. It's really good to be on the line this morning. I got done with my 11-step prayer call and jumped on, so I'm really grateful. And the line that's popping out at me is, here no specific rule can be given. And I know I started sponsoring like on a regular basis consistently a year ago, and it was the most scariest thing for my ego and my heart to do. And you know, we it's all in here. Like, literally, I just read the big book with my sponsees and use a couple other tools to help, like, translate the big book into OA that's been shown to me and helped me out. But it's so funny, and I know that I'm not alone because now I have sponsees that are sponsoring, and my sponsor is honest with me about sponsoring, and just that it's all in this book, and we read this book, but I want the rules. I want, like, I wanted exactly, like, what do I say to this person? What do I do if they're in the food? What do I do? And that, since I get to keep recovering in my 10 steps and 11 and 12, I'm seeing, and I've seen, it's just glaringly obvious that I have this huge fear of the unknown, this huge fear of my creator, this huge fear of just life and the unknown, which is also with sponsoring. And sponsoring is another relationship. And luckily, these 12 steps have, there are so many different programs. And I recently have been able to become new again in a different program, and that's helping me. And even in that program, I'm like, well, maybe I could just do this and not be an OA. Like, that has come up for a second. And then my sweet creator is like, honey, like, you're truly powerless over food, and you're a compulsive overeater. Your life's unmanageable. And so I don't get to come on here as often anymore, but I'm just so grateful. And being part of Vision this past year has really, really given me a foundation and opened my relationship with my higher power, which is what we're all working towards. You know, I didn't, I'll wrap up with this, my just being in program forever, it was just to hit my ego and just try to be somewhere. And through the love and unconditional love of my sponsor and my creator, like, I'm just getting to develop this relationship with my higher power, which is the whole point. So grateful to be here. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thank you, Des M. Courtney M, followed by Natalie G.
Hi, this is Courtney M, recovered in Southwest Florida, compulsive overeater. Okay, so, you know, one of the things that jumped out at me in this paragraph, and I wasn't planning to share today because I shared yesterterday and I thought, like, oh, I should, you know, give somebody else an opportunity, but it sounded like apparently there was an opening for me. But the thing that jumped out of the paragraph at me was the idea of someplace where somebody could find it. That was such an interesting concept to me because I, when I'm especially in my self-will, I'm all about steamrolling people, pushing people around, persuading people. I am in sales. I'm really good at persuading people. And, you know, I would use that. And I've done it before with programs, with all kinds of things, where I obviously know best. And I'm going to convince you that you need to do it this way. And doing something so gentle, like just leaving a book for somebody so that they can come to it when they're ready, that's such a foreign concept to me when I'm in that really willful place. So I love that idea of just kind of putting the message out there. And when/if that person is ready, they will pick up the message. And I know that this has happened for me in the past because there have been times when I have been, nope, not getting in, not hearing any messages from you. You don't know me. You don't get to tell me what to do. You know, I've definitely been in that place many, many times in my life, and it's done me a lot of harm, but it's also bumped me around enough to where when I heard the message this time, it came through. And now I hear messages from all over the place, from my higher power, guiding me, helping me very, very gently, because I'm willing and humble enough to listen. Not all the time, I slip. Slip in my humility for sure. But the idea here is we know what it's like as
as people who are trying to recover or not, you know, as we were before program, we know what it's like when we're not, we don't want to hear it. So just so gentle and just putting it out there and letting our higher power or that person's higher power guide them when they're ready. That's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's the only thing that's going to work. The only thing that'll work. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Courtney M. And next is Natalie G.
Hi, Mo. This is Natalie G. from Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. I think today I want to talk about myself as someone in the program who thought that she was abstinent. I thought I had an entire abstinence. And my sponsor knew I didn't. And she would, I think she tried to tell me, but I wasn't willing to hear. And I was blinded by the fact that I lost weight. I have had physical recovery, lost my weight and never gained it back in the program for the past 10 years. Had emotional recovery and what I considered spiritual recovery, but still had that struggle with sugar, which was a substance, and some other things that I hadn't yet identified. And I didn't want to listen to her. And I didn't realize, so a lot of times it's not even that as a compulsive overeater, a person doesn't want to, it's that they don't even understand what it is they're being asked to do, what an entire, let's say like what an entire abstinence really means. And thank God my sponsor stuck with me. And thank God other people in the program, you know, were willing to talk to me and stay with me. And what's really crazy is I also sponsored during this time, and my sponsees also had some recovery, but not complete and, you know, entire recovery, not to be recovered. That elusive, lovely promise that we have in the big book, all throughout the big book, it talks about being recovered. And to finally have that is amazing. But if someone had come up to me and said, oh, yeah, no, you're not, well, my sponsor tried. I couldn't hear her. I wasn't willing to hear her. I'm not sure what it is, but I did get to it. And that's the wonderful thing about the program and about the fact that we just are a program of attraction rather than promotion. Because if my sponsor had said, no, I'm not working with you anymore unless you do this, well, I guess I'd have tried to find someone else who would have done it the way I wanted to. But it happened, and it happened in God's time, not her time, not even my time, because I didn't realize I wasn't where I needed to be or where I wanted to be. So anyway, I'm grateful for all of you guys for the service and this meeting. It's changed my program. It's changed my life. I can say I'm recovered today, and that's lovely. I'm sponsoring people the way I think, you know, it is helpful to them, and I don't chase people anymore. I used to, and I have nothing that can't be given by anybody else who's recovered in this program, and if someone finds their way to me, that's lovely, and if someone has to find their way away from me, that's lovely too. So thank you very much for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Natalie G. We have time for, you know, a brief two-minute share if somebody would like to jump in there at the end. We're on page 90, the fourth paragraph, if he does not want to see you. Is there anyone that has a burning desire? All right. If not, I think we'll close the meeting. So let me see. We will now, let me see. Thank you all who shared and all those that gave service today. Martha M., Laura R., Ellen D., Bonnie T., Robin DZ, Kaylee R., our newcomer greeter. So if you're a newcomer, please stay on the line. And Leslie M., our announcements coordinator. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Bonnie T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Mel. Thanks for your service. I'm Bonnie T., recovered in Evanston, Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will continuously disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.